sound vibration is a manifestation of the person, who is a pure devotee, and that person is present. Just like I experience, I listen to Prabhupada's classes every day, and we experience Prabhupada's presence by hearing his recorded sound or by reading his books. So that's different from someone who is a materialist. Materialists, once they go, we don't know where. Anyway, they go. And of course, it's nice to remember the good things that the person did, but the person doesn't live on in the good deeds. Whereas a Vaishnava lives on in the good deeds. He's present. That's called Vani. Two aspects to a pure devotee is Vani and Vapu. Vapu means the physical form. Vani means the instructions, the sound vibration, the activities. Just like we have books about Prabhupada. One book is called the Prabhupada Leelamrita. If you read this book, you can actually associate with Prabhupada even though Prabhupada left the planet. Whoops. It's a pure planet. So, we can also associate with Srila Rupa Goswami. So when we chant the prayers of the departed Vaishnavas, we are lamenting that we don't have their personal physical association. But we are not lamenting for them. Try to get that clear. Like someone who is not Krishna conscious, you got to do a whole bunch of things when they pass away, like pinda, shrad ceremony, right? Because if they're not Krishna conscious, you better send some of that good old karma to them, because they need it. That's why a son is called putra. Putra means someone who saves the father, and the daughter is called putri, who saves the father from a difficult situation. I'm not going to use the word H-E-L-L. It saves the father from a difficult situation. So, wow, more musical. Sponsorship? Nobody listens. So therefore, when a great devotee passes away or they're no longer with us, we don't pray for them. We pray for ourselves. So because we're feeling separation, and by that feeling of separation, we actually associate with the person, which is the spiritual platform. Just like when we chant the holy names, Krishna's names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We're actually associating with Krishna. Even though you don't see him, his uppercut lila, his unmanifest lila is happening now. But still, we're with him. And when we see a picture of Krishna, the deities, we see a picture of a great devotee like Srila Prabhupada, we're actually associating with that particular person. So this prayer that we're going to chant is actually a lamentation that has been written by another great devotee, Narottama Das Thakur, lamenting that he is no longer able to associate with these great devotees. And he mentions several great devotees in this particular prayer. And this is a tradition that we chant this prayer upon the commemoration of the disappearance day of great Vaishnavas or Vaishnavis. And so I think many of you have a songbook, and if you don't have a songbook, then either you know the song or you can listen. Oh, sorry. Page number 56. And that's... What? Oh, you're going to put it up there. Okay, great. I knew we needed someone in technology to help us here. Do you have it? Oh, yeah, it's in the database.
Yes.
Okay. It's called... Saparshana Gora Viraha Vilapa. That means lamentation due to the separation from the Lord and his devotees. And it's a very important prayer that was given to us by Srila Prabhupada. Yayaneo premadana kona prachu.
Yayaneo
భాషల భాగవతుల ఆహార సన్నిహితమేలా
హేను ప్రభు కోక్త జయలాచయతకు
treasure of divine love and was filled with compassion and mercy, whereas such a personality as Srinivasacharya gone. Where am I, Sarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatana? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where am I, Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishnadas Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in his association, he performed his pastime. Narottama Das simply weeps. So, Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur and Midikam Tosmai Shigare Namaha. So today, as I mentioned, we are commemorating the disappearance day of Srila Rupa Goswami, and I want to explain a little bit about who he is, but first we'll talk about a disciplic succession. There are four disciplic successions, bona fide disciplic successions. The Vedic literatures say Sampradaya Vinaya Mantras Te Nishpala Magaha, that if you get a mantra that's not coming in disciplic succession, it doesn't work. Has to be in disciplic succession. So these four are the Brahma Sampradaya, the Rudra Sampradaya, the Kumara Sampradaya, and the Lakshmi Sampradaya. And they're all bona fide. For example, the Lakshmi Sampradaya, you have the Sri Vaishnavas, generally Sri Rangam, Tirupati, like this. And so we are members of the Brahma Sampradaya. And one of the more modern acharyas is Madhvacharya. So Madhvacharya, of course, is the brother of Hanuman. Very interesting. And Bhimsena. Vayuputra. Amazing. Anyway, apart from that, after Madhvacharya, then we have, well, many prominent acharyas, but we have Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, who appeared over 500 years ago. I keep saying 500 years ago, but I've been here a long time, so it's more than 500 now. We celebrated the 500th anniversary. What year was that? 1986? I remember that. And I've been around a long time. Not 500 years. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared then, and he is Krishna himself in the mood of Srimati Radharani teaching the Yuga Dharma. So Krishna himself, in the mood of Srimati Radharani, wanted to have one person primarily espouse and present his teachings, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he only personally left us 8 verses, which are called the, you know, Shikshashtika, the 8 verses of instruction on how to chant the holy names. Wonderful. Everything is contained within the Shikshashtika. If you can understand the Shikshashtika, you understand the whole philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Just like if you read 4 verses in the Bhagavatam, which are called the nutshell verses, Chatushloki verses in the Bhagavatam, the whole Bhagavatam information is contained in there. Or even if you chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Purna Shiva Nitya Mukto Vinayakvam Namanamino, everything is contained in the Mahamantra. So why do we need more than that? Well, that's answered in the Bhagavatam. That we are less intelligent in Kali Yuga, Kaler Doshimene Rajana Shinko Mahaguna. And therefore, it is required that we have more elaboration. Just like the Vedic literatures have expanded through the years. There was one Veda originally, then it was expanded to 4 Vedas, then after that you had the Upanishads, the Itihasas, and other supplementary Pancharatriki literatures, because we need more information than that. But in the Sakshi Yuga, people could just what? Meditate. They could just sit there and perceive the presence of the Lord in their hearts. They didn't need anything else. Treta Yuga, you know, they needed fire sacrifices. Dwarpa Yuga, they needed big deity worship. And Kali Yuga, we need the holy names, yes, but we need elaborate descriptions. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he appointed one of his followers, many of them, to write elaborate descriptions, but specifically Rupa Goswami. And Rupa Goswami has a very nice prayer that was written about him. Sri Chaitanya Mahavishnu Stapipam Yeva Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swabhadantika. That Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has implanted within Rupa Goswami his understanding, his intention, his vision, everything. Manopishtam. In other words, Rupa Goswami has understood the mind of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, in the Krishna conscious movement, we are known as Rupa Nugas, followers of Srila Rupa Goswami. So although Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only left us 8 verses, Rupa Goswami and the other Goswamis left us volumes and volumes of literatures. And I'm going to read some of his literatures before I start speaking about Rupa Goswami. And one, I wanted to tell one story from one of his literatures. Actually, I wanted to tell 3 stories, but that would take all day. Because there's 3 literatures that I primarily concentrate with Srila Rupa Goswami. One of them, of course, is the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is the law book for the Krishna consciousness movement as far as sadhana bhakti, raghunuga bhakti, vai bhakti, bhava bhakti, prema bhakti, all bhakti, whatever you get. It's the law book for that. And then there's another 2 poems, the Vidanta Madhava and the Lita Madhava. And so I'm going to choose today the Lita Madhava and tell you the basic story from the Lita Madhava after I mention all of Rupa Goswami's literatures, or the majority of it. And first we'll start with the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is the Nectar of Devotion, which is translated by Prabhupada, the Prabhupada's commentaries, which describes everything pertaining to bhakti from initial shraddha, that means interest, faith, all the way up to prema, including all the pastimes of the Lord. And then he has a postgraduate study of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is called the Ujjula Nilamani. And this explains primarily Madhurya Ras. Madhurya Ras means the conjugal loving exchanges between Radha and Krishna. Great elevated subject matters. Then, I'll go through this quickly, the Laghu Bhagavatamrita. It's a summary of another book by Sanatana Goswami called the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which talks about the travels of Gopal Kumar trying to find out his ontological position or who he is in relationship to God. And also Narada Muni's travels trying to figure out who the best devotee of the Lord is. And who's the best devotee of the Lord? Gopis, Radharani. That's an easy answer. And then Vidagdha Madhava, Lita Madhava, which are dramas written by Srila Rupa Goswami. And these dramas were written by Rupa Goswami under the instruction of Satyabhama and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Satyabhama, of course, is Krishna's wife in Dwarka, one of Krishna's many wives. How many wives does Krishna have in Dwarka, anyone know? 16,108 and counting. So the Vidagdha Madhava deals with Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, very intimate pastimes. I'll just tell you one of the pastimes, now that just comes to mind. It's a funny pastime. It has one of my favorite personalities. Shows who I am. Madhu Mangal, who's Krishna's joking friend. And so Krishna is getting ready to take care of the cows, and his mother says, "You come back quickly." And Madhu Mangal says, basically, he's going to be looking at all the girls and having pastimes with them. And then Krishna looks at him and says, "Shut up." So this fool is causing me trouble. And then Madhu Mangal says, "Oh no, I meant he's just going to be with the cowboys." Boys. So these are the sort of pastimes that are in the Vidagdha Madhava. Very intimate, interesting, some of them very funny. I mean, you have one of them, you have Radharani, who's lamenting that she's fallen in love with 3 different men. She thinks she's completely unchaste. But she's fallen in love with that blackish boy. I don't want to tell you who he is. She's fallen in love with the person who plays the flute. I don't know who he is. And she's fallen in love with a person named Krishna. You know who he is. So she thinks 3 different people. Oh my God, I'm so unchaste. So these are the sort of interesting, funny, deep pastimes in the Vidagdha Madhava, which actually points out the position of Krishna, the position. These books are written to establish who Krishna is, who Radharani is, who the residents of Vrindavan are, and basically everybody's what we call ontological position, who we are. And so Rupa Goswami does this in terms of dramas. And the dramas are very interesting. For example, so much from the Vidagdha Madhava comes to my mind. I'm sorry about it. And in the beginning of the Vidagdha Madhava, Rupa Goswami describes why he wrote the Vidagdha Madhava. And he says that Lord Shiva appeared to him in a dream and instructed him to do it. It's interesting. Yeah. Lord Shiva, he puts himself as a narrator in there. Rupa Goswami, it's a play, so there's a narrator, different characters. And he says in the beginning, he says the narrator says, I've been instructed, even though I'm not qualified, I've been instructed by Lord Shiva in a dream to do this. So Lord Shiva is the best devotee. And he's also the protector of the holy dam of Braj, Gopishwar Mahadev. And actually, wherever you go in Braj, he's protecting different aspects of the holy dam. You've got Kundeshwar Mahadev, Gopishwar Mahadev, Kundeshwar Mahadev, and all these different aspects of Lord Shiva. So he's present there. Even Narada Muni is present in the holy dam of Vrindavan as a lady, Naradi. So anyway, so sorry about all those. That's an interlude about the Vidagdha Madhava. Later Madhava, we're going to give you a brief summary of it later on. So these were two poems composed that when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates like Swarup Damodar Goswami, they read the introductory portions of these poems because they weren't finished at that particular juncture. They were amazed at how Rupa Goswami had developed this in such an erudite fashion, adhering to all the rules of Sanskrit poetry. Amazing. And one time during the Rath Yatra, it was Rupa Goswami, he understood Lord Chaitanya's mood when he was chanting in front of Lord Jagannath, stating, you know, I am the same Radharani and you are the same Krishna, and we wish to meet on the banks of the Jamuna River, the Batasi tree. And then Rupa Goswami understood that, and he wrote on a palm leaf his understanding of that particular verse. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he saw Rupa Goswami, he slapped him. He said, how have you understood this? How did he understand my intimate feeling? So, in other words, he really understood Manobhishtam, Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam. So, another book is called the Stavamala, which is prayers. Dhanakeli Komadi, which is about the tax pastimes, where Krishna exacts taxes from the gopis. And the gopis come back the next day and they basically beat up Krishna. The whole story. That what happened is that Krishna was... It's amazing. I didn't want to talk about all this, but it's coming to my mind. But anyway, so Krishna stopped the gopis as they were going with their milk products to Govindakund. And he said, you got to pay taxes. And the way he was extracting taxes was he was taxing each part of Radharani's body. He said, for your beautiful eyes, you have to pay so much in gold coins. It's really romantic. For those of you into romantic things, you read this. Your desire for romance in this world will dissipate in an instant. Like Rupa Goswami says, if you at all desire to enjoy society, friendship, and love, don't go to see Krishna's flames flew on the banks of Keshigat. So Krishna is trying to exact all the taxes, and then Purnamasi comes as a mediator in the middle of the whole thing. And it basically is arranged that gopis will come back the next day. So they come back the next day, and with millions of gopis, overpower Krishna, the coward boys, tie them for the to the trees, and hit them with sticks. Not hard. It wasn't Krishna abuse. But it was... So you have these pastimes of Dhanakeli Komadi, and it's a one-act play. It's a very beautiful play. There's a Radha Krishna, Ganodesh Dipika, which is described the ontological position of the of Radha and Krishna and their associates, as Mathura Mahatmya, which tells about the glories of Mathura, and tells it about, in the context of a conversation between Lord Barah and the earth. Lord Barah married the earth. That's another story we're not going to talk about right now. There's the Uddhava Sandesh. That's when Uddhava goes to Vrindavan to tell the gopis that Krishna is coming, just now coming. Was it Indian stretchable time? Is that what you call it? Yeah, Krishna. Anyway, tells Krishna is coming, he doesn't come, and the gopis, and specifically Radharani, is having this whole conversation with the bumblebee, getting angry with the bumblebee, thinking the bumblebee is a messenger of Krishna. Now that conversation is elaborated on even more so in Jiva Goswami's book, The Gopal Champu. Anyone here read The Gopal Champu? No. Anyway, all these things are, all these books are available as narrations online. Just go to ISKCON Desire Tree. I've done narrations of these, most of these books. Most of the books are Rupa Goswami, and we're just finishing The Gopal Champu right now. So there's an elaboration of that whole discussion Radharani has with the bumblebee, getting angry with the bumblebee, sending it away, lamenting that the bumblebee is has gone away. Anyway, then there's the Hansadutta, which is a Suryahalita sends a messenger in the form of swan to Krishna and Dwarka. It's amazing, amazing literature. There's Krishna Janma Titi. It's a manual on how to worship the deity of Krishna on Janmashtami. Wow. That one I haven't read yet. The Nataka Chandrika, this book explains the dramatics in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, you know, how poetry and dramatics. And finally, there's the Upadeshamrita, which Prabhupada translated as the Nectar of Instruction. So you see, it's very elaborate, instructive manuals about Siddhanta, about the conclusion, about Krishna's position, what to do in devotional service, or even Upadeshamrita, like how to interact with the devotees, how to control your senses, what to avoid. I mean, this is basically instruction manuals and Krishna's pastimes. In other words, Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. Sambandha means basic information about everybody's position, relationship to everyone else. Abhideya, what to do about it, how to progress in spiritual life, and what happens when you reach perfection. So these are Rupa Goswami's literature. All right. And I think we just have time for me to tell a little story from the Lalita Madhava. I know I can go on forever about Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami also, before I start, he installed the deity of Govindaji. The deity of Govindaji was actually originally installed by Vrajanabha. That's Krishna's great-grandson. After Krishna left this world, Vrajanabha went to Braj, and he basically found all the different holy places where Krishna had executed his pastimes. And one thing he did is he had a kirtan, and Krishna actually in Uddhava, this was in right at Uddhava Kund near Govardhan Hill, he had a kirtan, and Krishna and the gopis came out and magically appeared during that kirtan. And so he was the one who installed most of the original deities in Vrindavan. Most of the original. There's some of them installed later on. And there's some Pratibhu deities. Many of the deities in Vrindavan were taken away from Vrindavan when Vrindavan was attacked by the Mughals, and they were taken away to Jaipur, different places for their protection. But anyway, so Vrajanabha, there's some of the original deities are there. For example, there's one Nrisingadev deity at the tail of Govardhan. And you can tell most of those original deities are this black stone, which is called Vajra. It's like a really strong black stone. So there's an Ugra Nrisingadev deity at the tail of Govardhan. At the tail of Govardhan, you have all the various incarnations of Krishna manifest. So let's tell the story of Lalita Madhava. And it also deals with the story of Radharani's appearance, which is interesting. One story. Now, you'll find different stories of Radharani's appearance in different places, because Krishna does things in different ways each time. Like Krishna's pastimes, Radharani's pastimes are Nitya Leela. So it's not that each time Krishna comes down, he does things exactly in the same way. He has some variety. Krishna likes variety, just like we like variety. Prabhupada said, variety is the mother of enjoyment. If I give you the same thing to eat every Sunday feast, you won't come back here. So you need some variety every Sunday feast, different types of prasadam. Like Prabhupada one time said, when they were feeding themselves some boring food, it was just like boiled food, he said, let the starvation committee go to hell. So people like variety. So Krishna, as the original person, he likes variety too. So he appears in different ways. Just like the sun is actually interesting. Well, and quantum mechanics, one particular speculation is called the multiverse. So there are multi-universes. But it's not like the scientists think that each time we make a decision, we branch off to another universe. There's me in some other universe giving class out of other subject matter. Not exactly. But there's unlimited verses, universes, just like a bag of mustard seeds and a bag of mustard seeds. And in each and every universe, Krishna appears at a particular time. And he just thinks in a different way, and he's having so much fun all the time. That's part of the job description of God. You get to have fun. And do things your way. Like that song, I had it my way. Anyway. So, here's the story. And it's really interesting. In this particular story, Radharani appears from Mount Vindhya. Now, Mount Vindhya is envious of the Himalayas. Why would Mount Vindhya be envious of the Himalayas? Because the Himalayas gave birth to Durga. So there was some competition between the mountains. So Lord Brahma blessed Mount Vindhya that you're going to have a son-in-law who can defeat Shiva, the husband of Durga. But here's really what happened. They originally, Radha and Chandravali, were in the womb of Kirtida, who's the mother of Srimati Radharani and Chandravali, and they were transferred to the womb of the wife of Mount Vindhya. Now, it's not that Mount Vindhya is a person to this dominating deity. It's not that, you know, in the middle of a mountain, there's a womb or something like that. You know, try to understand this. It's like Bhumi, yes, in one sense you could say Bhumi is the earth, but Bhumi is also, you know, a person who looks just like us too. That's why Venkatesha, he married Bhudevi. You understand? So they have these different forms. So they were transferred from the womb of their mother Radharani and Chandravali to the womb of the wife of Mount Vindhya. And as soon as they were born, this very nice lady named Putana kidnapped them. Because she was told to kill the boys and kidnap the girls. And this is because Durga, who was Devaki's child, remember? Told Kamsa about the Sakis also. Not only did he say the person who's going to kill you has already been born, but these girls, you better watch out for them too. And so, but Vindhya, Mount Vindhya, try to follow this, had a priest, and he chanted a demon-killing mantra. And so the girls fell, one girl fell in the river, and Radharani was transferred by Yogamaya to Kirtida's womb again. So anyway, there's this whole trend. That's what's mentioned in the Lalita Madhava. And so there's more to it that happened in the meantime that we don't have time to tell, that, you know, when Putana was killed and Yogamaya did certain things. So then Kamsa, our friend, I'm not going to mention what political position he has in the United States. So Kamsa... Kamsa becomes interested in Radharani because he becomes attracted to her. And he sends this associate of his, Shankarchuda. Now, Shankarchuda was previously the leader of Kuvera's treasury guards. Got it? And he stole from Kuvera's treasury a gem, and the name of that gem was? What? Samanchaka jewel. Pretty good, isn't it? That used to belong to Kuvera. So, okay, so in the meantime, back in Vrindavan, Radharani and her mother-in-law, what's her mother-in-law's name? Jatila. Where does she live? Yava. Okay. They go to worship Surya, the sun god. Okay? And Krishna and Madhumango, they dress up as priests to help with this worship. Of course, little does Jatila know, it's Krishna, her arch enemy, Krishna, and Madhumango. Madhumango's a Brahmin. Krishna is certainly not a Brahmin. He is the Brahman. So, but Radharani recognizes, this is such an interesting thing, Radharani recognizes Krishna, but because she's with Jatila, she can't say anything about it or act on that. And Madhumango is simply asking for what?
Letters.
He's simply asking for letters. Krishna says, let's recite mantras for this sacrifice. And Madhumango says, we're going to recite mantras from the third chapter of the Kochameshvatsavisaka of the Veda. And that means Kamadeva's Book of Amorous Pastimes. Because Jatila doesn't know any Sanskrit. So they're just pulling the wool over her eyes. And he's finished, and Jatila begins to feed Madhumango, and then he says, I have to chant more mantras to protect Radharani from the demons. In other words, I want more letters. So after Jatila leaves, Radharani is seated on a throne, which is called the Ratna Singhasana throne, the jewel throne. This happens in the, there's an area around Govardhan called the Ratna Singhasana area, which is right in the middle of Govardhan Hill. Anyone been there with me? Some of you have been there with me. Yeah, Ratna Singhasana. It's a very isolated area. And Krishna approaches, but Mukara, who's Radharani's grandmother, comes, and then Krishna says, oh my God, I got to run away from this. So in the meantime, in that area, Shankarchuda comes and tries to kidnap Radharani. And Radharani kills him, of course, gives this jewel that Shankarchuda had stolen from Kuvera to Balaram. Balaram gives the jewel to Radharani, and Radha and Krishna have their pastimes. So, then, fast forward, comes time for Krishna to leave Vrindavan. So Akrura comes, the Akrura, the most uncruel person, who is the most cruel person. He comes and he takes Krishna away. The Vanasi Ganga dries up. The Govardhan Hill begins to shrink. And all the residents of Vrindavan are feeling so much separation from Krishna that some of them decide to end their lives. So Radha and Vishakha, they jump into the Yamuna. But when they jump into the Yamuna, Lita jumps from Govardhan Hill. Wow. And, you know, various things happen, and 16,100 gopis are kidnapped by Bulbasura. These gopis, later on, their expansions become the wives of Krishna, as princesses. It's amazing, what we call an ontological description. So, okay. So Radharani, when she jumps into the Yamuna, Who is the Jivuna's father? Sun God. Yamaraj. Yamaraj is Jivuna's sister. Brother, sorry. Not that modern. Anyway, so it's brother. So they're brother and sister. You know, brother and sister. You understand? So she's taken by the sun god along with this jewel. The Shamataka jewel. So, then, okay, fast forward. Krishna's now in Dwarka after he has been attacked by Jarasandha so many times, defeated Jarasandha, finally decides this is too much. We transfer everyone to Dwarka through the air. It's described in the Gopal Champa, he just sends him in the air to Dwarka. And then he just runs away. This is also in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. He also runs away from Jarasandha, climbs up like a 90 mile high mountain, jumps down after Jarasandha sets fire to the mountain, and laughs and runs with Balaram. And this is after he kills Kalyana too. So anyway, so then Krishna ends up marrying his first wife. Who's his first wife? Rukmini. Why does he marry her? Because she sends him the letter. She was supposed to get married according to her brother's arrangement to who? Not to Rukmini's her brother. Sishupal. Krishna gets this message, drives across India real quick, and he kidnaps Rukmini. But he promises Rukmini's father. What's Rukmini's father's name? Anyone know? There's a test. Keep everybody alive. Bhishmaka. So he promises Bhishmaka. He said, I will not marry anyone else without Rukmini's permission. So that's a good promise. So, promising that. So, then we have the Shamantaka jewel story, in which Krishna ends up retrieving this jewel and gets Jambavati. Anyway, I could tell that whole story. But he gets the jewel, and Satrajit, who is Satyabhama's father, the reason he's Satyabhama's father, he was given Satyabhama by the sun god, along with the Shamantaka jewel. You got it? Everybody got that so far? So, anyway, so he gives his daughter, feeling so remorseful that he actually accused Krishna of stealing the Shamantaka jewel, he gives his daughter to Krishna. Now, there's a problem here, because Krishna can't marry anyone else, because he's made a promise to Bhishmaka. He's not allowed to marry anyone without his permission. And she's not ready to give her permission. So what happens is that they take Satyabhama and they put her in this place called Nava Vrindavan, which is a replica of Vrindavan that's been constructed near Dwarka by Vishwakarma, the architect of the demigods. So she's there, and Rukmini meets Satyabhama. Satyabhama, being Radharani, or expansion of Radharani, try to understand, it gets a little philosophical here. But she's not interested in marrying Dwarkadish. She wants Krishna, and she thinks Krishna is still in Dwarka and Mathura. You know, Krishna's the king of Mathura, but this Dwarkadish guy, I'm not interested in. She doesn't know it's the same person. So she said, I don't care. I don't want anything to do with this person. She doesn't understand that Krishna is actually the king of Dwarka. So she thinks that Krishna is still the king of Mathura. So Satyabhama goes to this Nava Vrindavan, which means New Vrindavan, not the New Vrindavan we have here in the United States, not in West Virginia. It's across the bay from Dwarka. All right. And she is guided by Nava Vrinda. That is Vrinda who manifests herself in this Nava Vrindavan. And also, Jambavati hasn't married Krishna yet either, because Krishna doesn't have permission to marry anyone else, even though Krishna has been given Jambavati by Jambavan, who was also there in the Rama pastimes. And so Jambavati is hidden in the mountains. So, and Jambavati is actually Lalita Devi in her ontological position. So Satyabhama is feeling morose because she's there in someone else's kingdom, she can't see Krishna. And so in this Navabrindavan forest, Navabrinda shows her there's a giant, the life-size deity of Krishna there, made of sapphire, you know, the same color as Krishna. So made of sapphire, and she says, maybe this will pacify you, keep you happy. So Satyabhama actually begins to decorate this deity. They're decorating the deity very nicely and thinking, oh, this is my Krishna. So she does deity worship. So all of a sudden, when she's decorating the deity, one of Rukmini's servants comes in named Madhavi. And Satyabhama runs away, and Krishna comes in. He sees the deity of himself all decorated. And he thinks, who has done this nice decoration? I want to see. So Krishna takes the deity, puts the deity in the bushes, puts the jewelry. This is, maybe it's not the right topic for 73 stories. You're really right. Sruba Goswami. So anyway, so he puts the deity in the bushes, puts the jewelry that had been previously put on the deity by Satyabhama on himself, and he stands there as the deity, you know, just frozen like that. Satyabhama comes out and sees the deity and begins, you know, worshiping the deity, and Krishna thinks that she's just a deity that has been made by Vishwakarma. And she's touching the deity, and then both the deities, which are actually Krishna and Radharani, begin to speak. Krishna's thinking, this is, Vishwakarma's really outdone himself this time. And Radharani says, an amazing deity. Anyway, and then Rukmini enters, and then, you know, they discover it's actually Krishna and Radha, you know, the expansion of Radharani. Then Rukmini enters, and Satyabhama runs away again. Rukmini starts again. Very suspicious. And Uddhava reveals to Satyabhama and Krishna, you know, this is the real Radharani, this is the real Krishna. And Krishna wants to spend more time with Satyabhama, and he lies to Rukmini about where he's going. He said, I'm just going to see this old ascetic lady, you know, just, yeah. And she believes him. We're almost finished with the story. And Rukmini's servant, Madhavi, understands what's happening. So just to show Rukmini what's happening, she switches Satyabhama's clothes with Rukmini's clothes. So Krishna meets Rukmini, and he addresses her as Satyabhama. And Navabrinda slips him a note. No, this is Rukmini. So you got a lot of humor here in there. But it's also a lot of Siddhanta, a lot of presentation of who Krishna is, who Radharani is, and what their pastimes are. Still, Krishna gets away with a lot. He decides to meet Satyabhama in a cave, and they have their pastimes in the cave. On the walls of this cave are all the pictures, like photographs, of their pastimes in Vrindavan. And Krishna is showing her these different pictures. And then, remember when we did this? Remember when we did that? And finally, Krishna gets in a little teasy mood. There's a picture of when Krishna stole the gopi's clothes. And in that picture, there's Radharani in there. Krishna points out, who is that girl there? And she says, she gets very upset and embarrassed. And then there's one picture that they hate. And that's the picture of Akrura taking Krishna out of Vrindavan. Satyabhama says, I hate that picture. So eventually Rukmini confronts Krishna. And he confuses her with Satyabhama. He starts to say, Satya, and then Navarvinda says, shh. And he says, Rukmini. So then Rukmini takes Satyabhama away. We're almost finished. Takes Satyabhama away and he guards her. And so Krishna decides to play a trick to meet with Satyabhama because she's been hidden somewhere. and he dresses up as a woman named Ratangi. And but when he's planning to do that, he says his plans to Navabrinda, and there's a parrot who overhears, and the parrot brings the message to Rukmini. He says, you know, I'm going to dress up like this, and repeats his words. So Rukmini gets so upset that she wants to come and send Satyabhama away so she'll never be within 1,000 kilometers of Krishna again. So the parrot hears that plan, and the parrot flies to Krishna and Satyabhama, to Krishna and Satyabhama, and it reveals to Satyabhama what's happening. You know, this spy parrot. And then Satyabhama, well, she's in the mood of Radharani. She is Radharani, expanding in the dwarka pastimes. Runs away to drown herself in the imitation Kaliya lake that's in this Navabrinda area. And so she jumps into the lake. And when she jumps into the lake, there's not real snakes there, because she's thinking, I'm going to be killed by this, all the snakes in the lake. So Krishna jumps in to save her. And she's thinking that Krishna's arms are like snakes that are going to bite her. But she discovers it's Krishna, and then Rukmini, it gets revealed to Rukmini, because she also gets the Shamadak jewel at this point, it's revealed to Rukmini that this is actually Radharani. And Rukmini, of course, is an expansion of Chandravali. So they're like sisters. And then Rukmini gives permission for Krishna to marry Satyabhama. And then Rukmini places Radha's hand in Krishna's hand, and Satyabhama's hand, you know, they're the same. And then Garuda comes with all the 16,100 more girls. And then Rukmini accepts everything. So that's anyway, that's the pastime written by in the drama of Lalita Madhava by Srila Rupa Goswami. There's many more pastimes. You can listen to them online. Rupa Goswami had such an intimate relationship with Radha and Krishna that one time Radharani gave him ingredients to cook for his brother Sanatana Goswami. He wasn't aware it was Radharani, and he got chastised by Sanatana Goswami, his elder brother, for taking service from Srimati Radharani. So this is Srila Rupa Goswami. His books are very foundational literatures that give us information how to perform devotional service and what's going to happen when we go back into the spiritual world. So today we are commemorating Srila Rupa Goswami's disappearance day. So we'll end here, and then we have a screen vessel. All glory to the founders. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Rupa Goswami ki jai.